welcome to another Worst Sister Shire podcast. We're back again with Shadewood. This week we're covering episode 20 of season 4, which is called Free Fall. This is the next episode after the godforsaken black and white episode that we covered last time that we all hated. Just before I get into it though, we're the Worst Sisters and we have a motto here. Our motto is, if attempted murder is a crime, then attempted comedy is a podcast. I'm Suna.
I'm Sadie.
And I'm Arzom.
And as I mentioned, this is episode 20 of season 4. This is the episode where Spencer's really hitting the pills hard. She's starting to lose it. She's sleepwalking, sleep driving around town. The girls don't know whether they should believe her about Ezra being A, as Spencer claims, or whether Spencer's just lost the plot. So they're planning a secret scheme to try and get him to show up if he is A, and that's what we're dealing with in this episode.
So we actually start this episode off with Spencer waking up like hella confused in the middle of like Ezra's office. Apparently she slept walk there in the night and
she slept drove there,
that's right. And she just wakes up as Ezra's coming into the room, and she's like half like dressed, sprawled across his dress, dress. What am I trying to say? Desk.
What was the sentence?
So Spencer is laying across his desk, drooling into his open book, basically. Yeah. And Ezra's kind of being hella creepy and just being like, Spencer, we know what's going on. I think we should discuss it. And he's like staring at this barefoot, like doe-eyed Spencer who looks like a deer caught in headlights.
Yeah.
Before she literally just like sprints through the halls.
So she's in her pajamas, right?
Yeah. And for the first time in her life, they decide not to skip school, right? She can't go home and get changed. So she just goes to the bathroom and wears whatever hobo outfit she had in her locker.
I know.
Which is worse than her pajamas. Like, her pajamas were on point. She could have just worn them and no one would have said anything to her.
Yeah, she did look better in them. It's very funny, though, when the girls were all confused about why she had to change. Did you have an accident?
Because she's wearing shower shoes and everything as well, because she drove there barefoot, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girls are just talking about how... Okay, so this was really annoying. So they're talking about how they need to tell Aria sooner rather than later. And Emily's just like, no, we can't do that. She needs to go to class. Like, how can we possibly tell her before she has school?
I know, which is stupid because they know she's, like, dating Ezra without telling them now. So you'd think that they'd tell her ASAP.
This scene from Emily was giving a Major Hermione vibes. Or worse, expelled.
Exactly.
She might die, or worse, get a B.
She's basically like, you know, Arya's only good grade is in English. She needs to maintain it.
Yeah.
So is it after this that Ezra approaches Arya?
Yes, because this is when Spencer convinces the other girls, like, this is urgent, we need to tell her ASAP. And they're all on board until Aria and Ezra have a chat.
Yeah.
They had planned an intervention for later that day, though.
Yeah
they had.
For after school, obviously.
Yeah, because they're so studious now.
They are, yeah.
So Ezra approaches Aria in the hallway at school, and he's like, oh, yeah, Miss Aria, you had a question for me. Like,
he psychically sensed it, okay?
He psychically sensed it, and then she's like, oh, yes, a question.
Okay, a question. How much information do I need for the exam was her question.
And then they throw all caution to the wind and they just talk in the corridor like nothing. She's like Ezra-ing all over the place. He's giving her secret student files.
But the most gross thing ever happens in this scene also, where Ezra's like, oh, I know you're going to be late for history, but I can write you a late slip.
Oh,
if your boyfriend can write you a late slip, that's not okay.
Nasty. There is. So gross. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but here's another gross thing that happened in this episode. It's when Ezra is trying to convince Aria that she should tell Spencer's parents about Spencer. And she's and he's like, it'll be worse if a teacher gets involved, meaning himself.
Ugh.
I'm like, ugh.
So icky.
Anyway, back to the conversation. So Ezra is like now all concerned about Spencer and her drug habit. And he's telling Aria that she's got everybody fooled. She's addicted to these drugs. Somebody needs to do something about it. And he's telling Aria, breaching student confidentiality, because he's very concerned. And Arya's like, nah, that ain't Spencer. She's not like that. But he comes with receipts. He's got the files. He's got her personal record from the school. And he's like, oh, look, 2 years ago, she got done for this exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so this is the evidence that Arya takes to the girls.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, it's one thing, it's creepy, but it is one thing for you to show your girlfriend who's that student's friend or whatever. But it's worse for Arya to then be walking around with that file showing people.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to explain that if you get caught with that file? Which they also pull out in the middle of the day in the lunchroom.
Sometimes, like, hiding it in plain sight is better than hiding it elsewhere.
Okay, but pulling out a file labelled Spencer Hastings' personal file in the middle of the lunchroom is not hiding it in plain sight.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just plain sight.
This show doesn't even give you a straw to grasp on.
Anyway, so Emily and Hannah are catching up over lunch. And they're talking about, so they're having lunch in their usual spot, but they're talking about how they've been avoiding Arya all day. And
I know.
Emily had to do her Spanish homework in the toilet or whatever she was doing.
I know.
And it's like, oh, okay, cool. So go have lunch in your regular spot then.
Yeah, of course.
Avoiding her.
Where else are you going to have lunch?
Anyway, so Arya sits down. She catches up to them and she's like, oh my God, like I've been trying to call you guys all day. She sits down and she tells them about Spencer. So now Emily and Hannah aren't convinced about the Ezra theory. They don't know what to do. So what the girls end up doing is the three of them go to Spencer's house for the prior planned intervention, but they've done an intervention 180. And now the intervention is for Spencer. Oh, yeah. So I have a question for you girls first. So Spencer's like getting them soft drinks and she's like, two diets and a regular.
Yeah.
Is that right? Who do you guys think the regular is?
I think the regular is Hannah.
Why?
Because I think she likes the full sugar stuff because it keeps her like brain going and she's extra hungry and things like
that. I don't think so, because Hannah had a weight problem and now she watches what she eats all the time. Like,
that's,
remember when
point.
She was like staring sadly at the cupcakes and being like, once I start, I can't stop or something?
Yeah, okay. So we know it's not Emily because she's an athlete.
That's exactly why I was going to say Emily.
Yeah, she just burns it off.
But she doesn't swim anymore. She's been on the bench for like a season.
That's true.
So it's Arya who has to be different.
Yeah, I see that. So that was the two I was tossing up between. I was thinking it's either Arya because she likes to be different, or it's Emily because she just burns it off.
I think it's Arya.
Also, it all tastes the same, so why bother?
I'm surprised they have both, honestly. I feel like if you're buying soft drink, you either buy full sugar or you buy diet options of all of them.
The Hastings are rich. They can have options.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like even as a rich person, it makes no sense to have those options.
It's to offer it to other people.
If someone in my house is insisting they can only have a full sugar option, they can leave.
They're just better hosts than you, okay? Anyway, so they're sitting there. Spencer is getting ready, thinking that this is an intervention for Arya. They all look a bit sad. So she's like, oh, did you guys start already? And they're like, mm-mm, Spencer, we're worried about you.
I know. And like, also, how is Arya not questioning any of this? Like, eight times Spencer has said, oh, Arya, have they told you? Oh, Arya. This, oh, Arya, that. Like, yeah, this is an intervention for you, Arya. And then she's just like, Spencer, we're worried. Like, are you not wondering what they're worried about? Why she thinks it's about you?
And then, this, like, sends Spencer into a spiral as well, because she's like, oh my God, of course Ezra told you that I have a drug problem. He's trying to get you to think I'm the problem because he's A, don't you see it? And she's having like this full breakdown, but then she starts to confuse reality and the dream she had last episode.
Yeah.
And she's like, Arya, this is exactly why you almost got killed in the back of a nightclub. And they're like, what?
Because, like, she had a point up until then. Like, it very well could be a framing. And she's like, what?
Yeah, so these girls are, like, confused now. So Arya's convinced that Ezra is not A. But the other two that were on Spencer's side are now like, okay, maybe Spencer has gone AWOL. I'm not really sure what's going on here.
But then my other thing is, again, like, then Hannah and Emily are talking in the kitchen about, like, how love is also a drug and Arya has an addiction too, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Why did you all part ways and not also say, Spencer has a problem and this is the thing she said. Here's what she said. Let's talk about it. So you're aware. Yeah. Let's, raise your attention a little bit.
Well, I think those two were talking because Arya was not going to entertain this anyway. And Spencer had already tried to grab her shit and run away from her own house.
Yeah.
And she spilled the contents of her bag that we've never seen before on the bench too. And plot twist, there was a prescription pad with Ren Kingston's name on it in her bag. So
Which a few episodes ago, we had seen a gloved hands anyway, dealing with those prescription pads.
And then she's like, I've never seen that before in my life. And yeah, they just leave her alone then after that, I guess. Because the next time they see her is she goes over to Hannah's house. And Hannah and Emily are there talking exactly about whether they should believe Spencer or not.
Mm.
And Spencer shows up with a little baggie of pills and she's like, look, I'm done. This is all of them. First of all, how can we know?
Yeah, I know.
And they're all unmarked. Like, she could be putting her dad's blood pressure medication in there for all.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Unless, like, they know what it looks like, she could have put anything in there.
Yeah, but, like, also she's not going to have a full prescription for it because she's been buying them off random students.
You don't just believe an addict that that's the last of their pills.
Oh, I do.
Well, that's a you problem.
Sorry for having faith in people, okay?
I have no faith in people.
There's faith and then there's blind
faith. There's faith and there's blind faith.
So the girls come up with a plan to test Spencer's theory about whether Ezra's A or not and to have some proof. They've decided they're going to set up like a trap, basically. So they've read through the altered diaries and they've realized that there's this, I think it was changed to Ambrose Pearson, but it's Ambrose Pavilion. So they know that that's a place of significance for Allie. And so they decide that they're going to pretend Allie's reached out to them and asked for the money that Emily never got to drop off last time.
Yeah.
They're going to pretend to be meeting her there to give her the cash, thinking that A will be baited into meeting them there also, and then they'll see who A is.
Yeah, because that's always worked so well last, every other time they've tried to, like, bait A into going somewhere.
The other thing is, though, they know A's watching their every move. How do you know A doesn't know this plan?
I know, literally. They think they're just sneakier than A.
They try and, because they think Ezra's A, they try and, like, trick him into showing up. He's conveniently at the brew where Emily's working, so she's, like, dropping plates and talking loudly on her phone on her shift.
I know. Emily's the worst worker, honestly.
So that she can divulge this information to him. She's like, yeah, I get it. She needs the money. Ambrose Pavilion, got it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can see that he's paying attention to this, so they think they've got him in their little honey trap.
Yeah.
In between all of this, there was a date with Mona and Mike.
Yes, there was, and it was creepy and cringe.
Yeah, rhymes with glove.
Yeah, so Mona is like to Mike, oh yeah, I must really like you, and Mike's like, oh, just like, I thought you're gonna say the other word, you know, the one that rhymes with glove. And then gross. Ezra walks in and is just standing there waiting for his takeaway meal.
Yeah.
Mona excuses herself because she needs to go ask Mr. Fitz about an assignment.
Excuse me, Mr. Fitz, what knowledge do I need for the exam?
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know how Mike doesn't think any of this is sus when he knows that Ezra's a creep and he was dating his sister and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Like, wouldn't you be like, just talk to him at school, you weirdo. Why are you going to talk to a teacher in the middle of a restaurant?
Exactly. Everyone knows if you see a teacher out in public when you're in school, you pretend they don't exist.
Exactly. So she goes off to talk to Ezra and the conversation they have is roughly this. Mona says, I can't help you anymore. It's getting too complicated. And he's like, yeah, whatever, bitch. Yes, you will.
Direct quote, yeah.
That's a word for word summary. There was also one more thing I wanted to tell you guys about this scene.
Yeah.
I have another example of this in Ambrose Pavilion as well. So I'll tell you quickly here what it is and then I'll finish it off at Ambrose Pavilion.
Okay.
But did you guys notice that, so Ezra went there to order takeaway.
Yeah.
He gets his takeaway. Woman that works there brings him his takeaway and hands it to him. But did you notice anything weird about that scene?
No, I wasn't really focusing on how she was handing him the food.
Okay. Did you notice anything weird about how they called out his name when they were handing him the food?
Did they say Ezra or Mr. Fitz?
They did say Ezra, but it was a man's voice and a woman gave him the food.
Okay.
So?
This is a tactic in production of TV shows and movies where they didn't want to pay that extra money for talking because there's like different awards for how you get paid as a background actor, right? Mm-hmm. And if you've got any speaking lines, you get paid more. So in this scene, you can clearly see her just smiling and nodding and handing him the food, but it's a man's voice that calls out Ezra from out of the scene before she walks in.
Yeah, okay.
Probably just a director or a cameraman.
Ezra.
Ezra.
Your man.
Ezra, and then a dainty little woman comes out.
So there's not another woman on set they could have had to call him out?
Apparently not.
Oh, I see.
Not one that wasn't the Pretty Little Liars. Anyway, there's another example of this in Ambrose Pavilion, so I'll tell you guys about it when we get there as well.
Cool. I love tidbits.
Yeah. So they go to Ambrose Pavilion, right?
Which is like a reptile place.
This is at the same time that Arya, I think, has given into her suspicion a little bit with Ezra, because she was talking to him earlier and telling him about Spencer. Yep. And he gave away a little bit of information that she didn't think he knew. He said something about, oh, well, remember when Spencer went crazy because she saw a tattoo and thought it was Toby?
Yeah.
And Arya was like, hang on, how did you know that there was a tattoo? And he's like, oh, you must have told me. So there's a little bit of a suspicion in her mind. So she's off sneaking around his cabin, and we'll get back to that scene in a minute. But as we're watching this, there's that tension of like, is he going to show up there or is he going to show up? We don't know where he's going to show up. So the girls are at Ambrose Pavilion, and they've set up the little trap. They've put their little coffee bag. First of all, how do you know that A thinks that your coffee, the money used to be in the coffee bag? Like,
well, because she hid it in the coffee bag.
Didn't yeah,
she?
But we know that.
A is always watching. Except for when they're plotting, then A's exactly, not watching.
Exactly.
Also, which idiots bring the actual cash to a fake sting?
Was it actual
essentially
cash?
What,
I don't know what was in the bag.
Yeah. Because one of them had to dive back in to get it.
Oh, yeah, that is dumb. I don't know why they did that.
In case Ellie does show up.
Yeah, it seemed it was just a fake money bag.
Me too.
Yeah, so when they get there, they plant everything up. So they're waiting and waiting for Spencer to show up. Nobody's showing up for a while because Spencer's going to pretend to be Ellie to pick up the cash. And then they're going to see who shows up to grab Ellie or something. They're like, who's going to murder her? Let's find out.
I know, literally.
They see who they think is Ellie walk in.
Yeah.
Who they think is Spencer walk in, I mean.
Spencer, who's going to pretend to be Ellie.
Yeah, Spencer is going to pretend to be Ellie, and they're watching and they're waiting, and they just think the trap's in the way. But then all of a sudden Spencer shows up, and she's like putting on her blonde wings. She's like, sorry guys, I'll get into position now. Which is, first of all, if you think you're being watched, don't give away that this is your plan. Like, why are you guys dumb? But anyway, she runs in with her blonde wig. She's like, I'm running late. I'm going to get into position now and then we can start. And meanwhile, the other two are like, holy shit, if this is Spencer, then who is that? So they run off. They run off to try and catch who the other person was, but they miss her. And then the most dramatic, shitty scene ever happens. Like, this room is like, there's just so much terror going on in this little, like, reptile snake room. The snake room. They're like, they don't know where they're going. There's blinding lights flashing around. There's so much confusion. A is escaping. Like, the layout of that room and the lights there did not lend itself to doing this.
No. No.
They did not.
It was just such a wild scene. It was like they were like in a disco or something.
Literally. Disco party.
So they let whoever was there pretending to be Ellie slip through their fingers. So they don't know who it is. But the other bit that I wanted to talk about, the whole don't pay the background actors thing, is when we start this scene, there's a couple of kids that are talking about a snake.
Yeah.
And you will notice if you watch that scene, I've actually recorded these so I can send it to both of you. Now, if you wanted to watch it, but you will notice in these scenes that those kids never talk while they're on camera. All they're talking is when the camera's not pointed at them.
So they just got some other random voices in the back?
Yeah. So I think somebody else did the voices, because you never see the lips move and they're talking at the same time.
Oh my gosh. How did you pick up on all of this?
Do you guys want me to send you the videos?
Yes, please.
Sure.
5 minutes later.
Yeah, cool. I didn't notice that when I watched it, like, both times. I hadn't noticed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on it either.
And it's funny, like, I also didn't know that that was the reason why they do stuff like that. Like, there's different pay scales of whether or not you speak. I figured there's, like, a flat rate and they can get you to do whatever they want you to do within the time that you're allocated there.
No, you get paid more for a speaking role. I feel like I picked this up recently from somewhere. I can't remember where from. It may have been Jeanette McCurdy's book.
Ah.
It was something like that I was reading recently.
I was wondering if it was a scientific article, i.e. Instagram.
Yeah. It very well may have been.
I like that little bit of information, though.
Yeah. Also, like, attention to detail, Sunna. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they let whoever it was pretending to be Ellie slip through their sticky little fingers, so they didn't catch
it. Did you say sticky or stinky?
I said sticky. I don't know if their fingers stink.
I was going to say, that's a bit rude for no reason.
While all of this is happening, Arya is, like, fighting for her life over at Ezra's house. At Ezra's cabin. So, first of all, she gets there because she's like, I'm going to have just a snoop around. Like, I don't think he's A, but, like, I'm just going to have a snoop around. And all of a sudden, he's got this super elite security system, which he didn't have before.
Yeah.
Okay. So, A couple of episodes ago, she was able to just get into that cabin with just a little key that she pulled off her keychain. So he suddenly has this like state-of-the-art alarm system in his house, like on the cabin, but she still thinks that the cabin is his cousin's or his friend's or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
So she's there and she's trying to get in with the codes and she's doing like all these authors like Shakespeare. Like,
my favorite author.
My favorite author is also Hamlet.
That's just word association for you guys. Like Shakespeare and like some other famous authors. I don't remember what they were. And like the password ends up being B26, which is that song that they were playing on the jukebox and the name of his poem, right?
Yeah.
But if you're setting up an alarm system on your friend's house, why are you putting the code as something that you would know?
I think they've just given up on that whole backstory and now we've just accepted that she thinks this is Ezra's cabin.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because like, why would you go and look through his friend's cabin for evidence instead of going to his house to look for evidence, which would be the first logical step?
Yeah.
Like, her gut took her to the cabin, I get it, but like, logically speaking, that should have been his friend's cabin.
This is what I'm saying, though. Ezra has too many layers. Like, he has his house, he has the cabin, he used to have Ravenswood, then he has his desk at school. Like, everywhere's just full of information and no one finds it.
Yeah. Okay, so you're 100% right, Sadie. Like, if she was going to go snoop, the place to go would have been his apartment. But let me ask you this. So he does live in an apartment, right? How were they supposed to have a chase through the woods scene if she went to his apartment?
That's so true, honestly.
Like,
so true.
This had to happen. This had to happen.
Where would the ski lift go?
Exactly.
The ski lift that works all throughout the year, even when there's no snow.
It's a dirt lift.
Yeah, it's for when you're lazy and you just don't want to walk.
Yeah, exactly.
So she gets into his cabin and she's trying to look around. She can't find anything. She actually finds the hole in the floor door, whatever that's called. Yeah. The trap cellar. Door. The cellar door.
The trap door.
And
yeah, that makes more sense. It's not a trap.
The hole in the floor door. The hole in the floor door is my favorite.
Did you understand though?
Anyway, so she opens the floor door and his lair has been emptied from under there. He's, I don't know, figured out that she's going to look there, but he thinks she's not going to look into a meat cookbook. So he's cleared out all of the evidence except she sees like Carnivore's Delight sitting next to the couch.
Yeah, like what a freaking name.
She's like, interesting. I wonder what this is. She opens it up and the book has been hollowed out. And inside is the draft of Ezra's book that he's been writing about Allie. And
so, like, if you've cleared out everything, why are you leaving your book behind?
But, like, she's not going to look there because she's vegetarian.
That's true. That's
so
true.
So he keeps his book there. And you know this book is already juicy because it starts off with, like, everything that Ellison says is a lie, even when she kisses you or something like that.
I know. No, it's lying is her oxygen. She can do it while she's talking, even when she's kissing you.
I know. And I'm like, I would give anything to read this book.
I know.
Someone please write this book so that I can read it.
It's going to be as bad as the poem.
It's going to be excellent, you mean?
Yeah, so Arya reads a bit of it, but she doesn't have time to kind of get through the whole book before Ezra just arrives, right? And she had already flung her keys at the entrance when she got in. She just takes off out the other door and he notices that she's there, but he doesn't see
her. Wouldn't it be less weird for her to just be like, hey, I wanted to come hang out here and get away from everyone?
I know, but at this stage she was scared of him because she's just realised that he's potentially A.
Yeah.
So she loses her mind and she jumps out the window, starts taking off into the woods, and Ezra's taking off after her and he's like yelling at her through the forest of like, let's talk about it, hi Arya, like, etc. And she's just hiding in the bushes crying. Eventually she spots the chairlift and she's like, I know how to get away with him. I'm going to fly in the sky where he can see me. But anyway, she gets into this chairlift and it's another example of if it's not on the camera, it didn't happen, because out of nowhere, as she's pulling the safety thing over her seat, by the time she pulls it on her, Ezra's in the chairlift with her.
Literally. Don't worry about how it happened. It did.
Yeah. Don't worry about how. Don't worry about where he was. Don't worry about how he actually walked up to her and sat next to her all while she was pulling this thing down and didn't notice him.
Yeah. He's really light on his feet, okay?
It's not just that. Those things balance by, like, one little bar holding it up, right? So the slightest disturbance, it's going to, like, make some sort of movement.
It's going to swing because of the added weight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except he got really tiny, so he's the size of a 16-year-old girl now, and he sat at the exact moment she did on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. They balanced each other out.
They're sitting basically cheek to cheek, and she didn't notice him. That's the worst little bit of, like, editing they've ever done.
Yeah, that was actually a hilarious bit of editing. Yeah, so they get it. So they're in the chairlift. The chairlift's moving, and they're just having a fight about what's just happened and telling her, like, yes, I knew Ali, dated her for a little bit. She lied to me about how old she was. I didn't know. And Arya's freaking out, and she's like, did you know who I was when we met? And he admits that he did. When they met in that bar that first time,
yeah,
he admits that he knew who she was, and this started off as research for his book.
Which is, like, so confusing because she walked into the bar after him.
Yeah. So I think he ended up saying that he saw her and he took his chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think he planned to do that, but he happened to see her in a bar while he was doing his research. He recognized her and just decided to go for it. And so he fully knew when they met that she was underage, that she was potentially his new student, because he did say, I'm going to start my teaching job.
Yeah.
Like, this guy cannot get any creepier. And so, yeah, we find out that he's known all along, and then I think he's tried to say to her that, like, yeah I did know, but now I've fallen for you. And they're having a fight, and he says, you don't have to read it. And she's like, are you kidding me? I'm gonna read every single page. And then in their kerfuffle, the pages just fly out into the wind and fall to the ground underneath the chairlift.
My issue is, this then raises so many questions about the length of, like, their entire relationship. Like, remember in season one, like, at Ali's first funeral, Ali's first funeral, where he's basically like, we can't see each other, blah, 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 but then makes out with her in the hallway. Like, that was all so manipulative.
Yeah, it really was.
Like, goddamn, he knew, like, what to say to kind of get her hooked and then pulled her back in every time.
Yep, literally. But yeah, that's about where we leave them, pretty much, in terms of the rest of the episode. But there is a couple of things we need to go back to. So the first is the reason Spencer was running late to be pretend Ali is that she was trying to fight off everybody trying to make plans with her, basically. So she was busy, first of all, trying to score pills from Dr. Griggs on the phone. Then that didn't work. So she tried to also tell her mum that she was going to be with Toby tonight, so she couldn't go to the country club. And then she also told Toby that she couldn't have dinner with him tonight because she had to go to the country club with her mum. And to me, I felt like this was such a weird lie because, like, Toby and her mum literally see each other all the time. Yeah, like, if you're going to lie about where you are, at least say you're with a person they don't talk to. Because, like, literally tomorrow, Toby will be at your house and he'll be like, oh, how was dinner at the country club?
I know. Literally say something like, I'm going to go to Andrew's to study. Say something like, Arya's having a hard time, I'm going to go help her. Say something.
It makes no sense to tell two people you're with each other when they see each other all the time.
Agreed. Well, Spencer's not smart. She's drug fucked right now, so.
Yeah. She does end up getting caught because Dr. Griggs ends up calling Veronica back, and, well, Dr. Griggs's office ends up calling Veronica back, and they're like, actually, like, thanks for calling earlier, but we just cannot dispense Spencer any more pills without seeing her. And Veronica's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you rang like 1,000 times, so we're calling you back. So obviously Veronica gets suspicious that Spencer's back on the pill, rings Toby, and Toby's like, what the hell, I thought she was with you. So then obviously the next logical thing to do is Toby comes over and hangs out in the dark in Spencer's kitchen while the mum's in another room while they wait for Spencer. So when Spencer gets home, Toby's just sitting in the dark in the kitchen there. And they approach her about the pill habit. And she starts crying and admitting kind of what she did. So that's where we leave her. And then the last thing I think we wanted to talk about is the fact that Mona went missing for half a movie when she was meant to be having a movie night with Mike.
I think, like, it was done to imply that she was the one in the blonde wig at the snake place. Like, that's how I took it. Because in the scene where she was talking with Ezra and he's like, you have to help me, you can't not help me, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that's where that was leading. And that's how I just took it.
Yeah, so we're led to believe that she was possibly the pretend Ali. And then the last thing that happens is that A collects the book scraps from the floor of the ski lift.
Yeah.
I think that's the episode. Is there anything else we forgot to cover?
It's not something that we should cover, but it's like an honourable mention. The fact that these girls, they know about Spencer's drug problem. And instead of, like, going to an adult or helping her seek help or whatever. They just sort of basically, I think it was Arya who said it at one point. Like, let her figure it out on her own.
And this was after Ezra basically said, she sleep drove to school and she's like, can't we just let her figure it out? Like, no, she's a danger to society.
Yeah. Literally.
I didn't care for that. Like, they're supposed to be best friends.
But yeah, what did you guys think of that episode overall?
It was exciting.
What did you think about the Ezra book reveal, Sadie? Because I feel like this was a mind-blowing moment for me and Ezra when we watched
it. Oh, that was a mind-blowing moment. Like, I didn't expect him to be... I thought he was A this entire time. I didn't think he was writing a book about, like, you know, the death of Ali and whatever.
Does it preclude him from also being A?
I don't know. I think it does. Because he's still trying to figure out who killed Ali. And that's what they're doing. I don't know.
And then my other question is, what is Mona helping him with?
Getting information. Mona was A.
Anyway, yeah, I think it was a great episode. I love the Ezra reveal because I love him showing his true colors and it coming to light that he is in fact a freak. And I think this episode is significant for Ezra's character because this to me really concretes that he is a creep. Like, the show tries to sell it to you as though, oh, well, they fell in love and love is, like, age is just a number and, like, they really click together because, like, they both love books and that's so rare.
And black and white movies, don't be silly.
So for me, this episode concretes the fact that Ezra is, in fact, a creep and he preyed on a teenage girl so that he could write his book.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so I have a note here about the chasing scene through the woods. And I said, like, Ezra legitimately looks like a predator.
He looked like a predator in season one.
Yeah, he looked like a predator because he is one.
This felt like if he catches Arya, he's going to kill her. But he did catch her and he didn't kill her. So.
All right, so guys, did anyone have a worst sister story?
Yes, I have one. Okay, so my worst sister story is going to get wild. Okay, so just buckle in, you guys.
Okay, buckle.
I have to give context, so otherwise you're not going to understand any of it. So a couple of weeks back, my car broke down. So I had to give my car to the mechanic. And then a few days before this incident, my husband's car got a flat tire and I needed to get somewhere urgently.
Yeah.
So I borrowed my friend's car. Now his car is like a piece of crap.
As opposed to your functioning cars.
I was going to say, you have two broken down cars. Beggars can't be choosers.
Okay. So... this car, he uses it as, like, a work car. So he has, like, tools and stuff, like, strewn about inside it. Like, nothing functions in the car properly. Like, you can't open the driver's window. You can't open the passenger side door. Like, there's like, quirks on the car.
Oh, right? It's a murder car. I got it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like a piece of crap car. And I had to go to, like, because where I live, like, rurally, so I had to go to like the town center to get something. And on my way into the town, I was pulled over by police for like a routine stop. So this police guy, he's coming and he's knocking on my window, and I'm like, I can't roll this window down. And he's not understanding me. So I'm like,
how thick are these windows? He couldn't just hear you?
No, because we're on the side of like a really busy main road. So there's like cars zooming past us. I'm pulled over on like the tiniest little shoulder. He's standing right into the window. And I'm like, I can't open the window. I can't open the window. And I can't open the door either because he's like right there.
Yeah, but you can open it a crack and whisper through the hole.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's the obvious thing.
This is where my awkwardness comes into play, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that the car doors locked itself automatically when you turn the ignition on. So I'm there pulling on this car door for it to open, and it's not opening. And I can't figure out why, because it's not one of those cars where you can see the locking mechanism. Like, you know how you had those ones before where you'd, like, push it up and pull it down or whatever?
Yeah.
Or the complete opposite. Like, you can't see any indication of if this door is locked or not. So I'm like,
mate, what car is this? Because it's fancy enough to not have a push-pull lock thing. It's not fancy enough that it has working windows, but it's also so fancy that the doors lock automatically when the car starts.
Yeah. Right?
All right, keep going.
So I'm like pulling on this door handle for it to open a little bit so that I can talk to this guy because he's like pulled me over. It's a cop. The door handle just comes off in my hand. So not only have I been pulled to the side of the road for a random routine thing. It looks like I'm not opening the window on purpose, and it looks like I'm not, like, engaging the police officer, but I'm, like, talking to him, like, mate, was... So in the end, I started, like, sort of raising my voice to him because I'm getting frustrated and angry at the situation. He's just stood there staring at me. So in the end, I said to him, and I quote, "If you want to talk to me, you need to open my door."
And did he?
He told me to turn the car off. I did. He opened the door, and he's like, "What is going on?" I said to him, "Look." I said to him, "This isn't my car.
I steal it. Someone got murdered in here."
So, that's my police story.
Abzum, did you have a worst sister story?
Yes, I did. So the other day, I went to a bottomless brunch thing with one of my friends. And you guys and listeners know, I don't drink very often. So I'm quite the lightweight. And at this point, it was bottomless brunch. So I wanted to get my money's worth. But me and my friend decided we're going to go to a movie after. Mm-hmm. So we go into the movies. We're going to go watch Ghostbusters. And I fell asleep in the movie. Like, I passed out in this movie, fully fell asleep, and did not wake up until, like, almost the end. I have no idea what happens in the new Ghostbusters because I fell asleep in public.
And did your friend stay up to watch it?
She did, yeah.
Did she like the movie?
She was awake. She said it was all right.
Did you snore?
I don't think so. I don't know for sure. I don't know. But apparently she looked over to say something to me and saw I was asleep with my mouth wide open, just like neck tilted back, staring up. So that was embarrassing.
All right. Well, that was Shadewood. And thank you for joining us. As usual, you can reach us on all of our socials if you want to talk to us. So we are on Sister Worst on Twitter/X. And we're at Worst Sister Shire on everything else that we're on. So Reddit, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You'll find us. You can email us at worstsistershire@gmail.com as well. And we'll leave you with a hadebam on the count of three.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three. Hadebam.